Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for December 8th, 2024. Hold on, writing something down. Okay, Karen Eileen, are you ready to go?
Super ready to go,
Okay.
yeah.
Okay. So you wrote in, you're a cash flow tiger, you're writing in about your coaching business, and part of that business has been you coaching for or within this other company. And you're ready to kind of step back from that and give them your notice. And you wrote a note. And then I want to talk about your note, but then, so the second half of your note, you're sort of like, do I say anything about giving 30-day notice? How to, okay, we'll talk about that. Okay. And then we'll talk about the job thing. So the first question I have for you is just the tone of this. There's nothing wrong with it. You could send it like there's nothing really wrong.
Okay, tell me because I want to know because I have all these feelings and I'm sure they seeped into the email, so.
Yeah, and I think that this is a thing that some people do. A lot of females definitely kind of do this, where they are uncomfortable about ending a business relationship. And we're talking about the business scope of life. Uncomfortable about severing or ending a business relationship. And so they're overly effusive. Like, oh my God, you guys are great. And this was so good. And lots of exclamation points in all caps and like, oh, boo, and yay. And it's like, I understand that you have this is part of your personality. It's not like this is out of left field. And I'm like, who wrote this letter? It's part of your personality. But my question to you would be, how much of that are you kind of ramping up in a hopes that it'll cushion the blow of the message that's actually being delivered?
That's a really fair question. Like if I had to put a percentage on it, it's high, 60%, I would say.
So I'd like you to dial it down to, a nice solid 10% because it's not necessary because this is business. Also, it's not genuine.
Oh, the
It's
60%
not that
is. Yeah, I
you,
got you.
yeah, just the, I love the way I love the overall, like, with great gratitude and appreciation for all of you in this company.
That's true.
Yeah. I have to relay some bittersweet news. I think that's a nice level of like, it's, but then anything above and beyond that, so with all the you guys rock in my heart, it's just like, yeah. Okay, but I'm not making fun of you because
No, just okay.
I have seen this before and I completely understand where it's coming from, but it's not necessary because it's business. It's not fully genuine because you're kind of amping it up to hopes to soften the blow. And it's almost like you're doing this so that you don't actually have to build the muscle of breaking up with somebody in a business-like way.
That
Rather, you be straightforward, nice, professional, genuine, and genuine, but to the degree that it is genuine, because it doesn't require anymore. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to go, oh yeah, Karen's leaving, so we have to figure this out. That's what they're.
So
You're
I
not going to be like, oh my gosh, oh my God. Like,
No, that's not what I'm expecting. It's interesting. What I'm expecting is anger.
And this is great. Why would this is great, meaning this is an interesting conversation.
I got you.
Why, what in your relationship with them would make you fearful that you're going to get an angry blowback?
The fact that I mean, I wanted to bring it here with you. So today is December 8th. I'm gonna be gone from December 23rd on. So basically, if I send this tomorrow, I am giving them 2 weeks. They have been emailing up a storm about all the students in the pipeline and can we get them finished? And oh my God, can you guys lean on them and hurry it up? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I am stepping away, so I'm not in those conversations very fully. I feel like the feeling is, the narrative is, I'm doing them dirty because I'm only giving them 2 weeks and they're in the middle of this epic. So I expect like their version of like, are you fucking kidding us right now? Like, I expect that.
And then what will happen?
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to bring it here to you was to sort of calibrate that because I don't know that I've ever stepped away from a gig. I think the gig either ended or I got fired. So the muscle of stepping away in my power as an adult goddess, this is like a brand new muscle. So it, you know, I know the whole thing. If just because it feels wrong doesn't mean it is wrong. This is new. It feels very wrong. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. I just wanted to talk about kind of the tone.
Yeah.
But
Okay.
now, this is a legitimate question that you've brought up here and that you're bringing up now is so how do I do this in a way that doesn't fuck them over, leave
Yeah.
them in a lurch,
Right.
like be flaky? Because you don't want to do that either.
I don't. I'd like to leave on decent terms. They've been very decent to me. I'd like to leave. Yeah.
So let's talk about the decent terms, because I'm a big believer. I want people to leave me on decent terms. I try
Yes.
to leave people on decent terms.
Yes.
And life is fluid, and sometimes we get the inspiration to move on in a time that is awkward. You know,
Yep.
sometimes it's
Yep.
not perfect timing. It's perfect for us,
Oh,
but
yeah,
not.
got that. Yeah.
But let's talk
Okay.
about this. So
Okay.
you're going to be out of town, unable, off the grid
Off
from
the grid.
December 23rd through January 8th. And how many outstanding students are you personally responsible for as of today?
They are trying to get those numbers. The nature of the coaching is that the students self-book and it's a series of three sessions. I have had hundreds and hundreds of students with them. I do not track where every individual student is, so I have no idea. And that's a weak spot in their tracking that they are trying to scurry to get up to speed because they're not tracking it either.
Okay. So you're telling me you have no idea
No.
how many students have bought packages that are still have remaining sessions.
Correct. Sometimes they book three in a row. Sometimes they take a month in between, 2 months, 6 months. Some of them take a year in between. It's all over the place. And they're just now starting to go, we need to sort of rein this in because it's a mess. So they're in the middle of
It's
that.
a mess. Another question. When I, Christine Aller, buy a three pack with this company, could I buy a session with you and buy a session with Kate and buy a session and then another session with Kate? Can I mix it up or do I commit to one coach and that's
No.
it?
You buy a giant package, and as part of that, you get trained in the storytelling of voiceover and the technology of voiceover. I'm the technology girl, along with two other coaches, but once you choose a technology coach, they want you to stay. Now, if I'm leaving, I'm sure they would be like, well, maybe we need to reassign all of her people. That's an option, but they like you to stay. They like the student to have some sort of consistency in their training. Yeah.
Okay. So, and there's no other technology person on staff right now.
There's three of us all together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, doesn't that mean that those other two people would get the
They'll just
student?
have more work. But I don't know if I need to s this is my question to you. Like, do I need to say to them, please reassign all the remaining students? I'll finish what I can, you know, before I Well, I'm not sure how to present it to them.
Well, let's, yeah. So
Yeah.
the question, the clarification you need for yourself is, how many more hours can I give them of my time that you'd get paid for?
Yeah.
You know, like, I will service 30 more hours before, like, anytime in December and throughout the month of January, I can service 30 more hours worth of clients. Hope that helps.
But that was one of my questions. So if I expand it out through the end of January, that's very doable. But if it's going to be in the next 2 weeks to give them 30 hours, that would be hard.
It's no. So, because your life at the moment, there are things going on that would definitely make it hard for you to do an abundance of clients
Yeah.
that they would like to get funneled in through the rest of the year. How many hours can you give them in December, and how many
In
hours can you
December.
give them in January?
Oh, wow. Okay. Off the top of my head, 10 hours for the rest of December and then 20 hours in January.
Okay,
So,
and why those numbers? Based
I'm
what?
guesstimating. I have
Well,
no,
based
I've,
on what? Do you have the bandwidth for 10 hours worth of client work in December? Or are you
Okay,
just saying that's
so yeah, like I'm just
number?
saying it. So really, I can say this out loud here and to you, I'm way past the point where I'm ready to be completely done. I have stayed too long. Stop, little alarm.
Yes.
I have stayed too long,
Yeah.
and I am feeling I still show up as a professional. They still get amazing training, and it costs me because I don't have the bandwidth to do it, right? Like at all right now.
Okay. That is on you. I'm not blaming you.
Yeah.
But that's a you problem,
Yeah.
not a them problem that you're beyond.
I got that.
You can say
But
to them, so you could say to them, unfortunately, I'm unable to take any new client hours in December. However, when I return starting January 9th, I could give the company 20 more hours that you can assign, you know, through the end of January. Like, you could do that. Kate?
I just wanted to sort of back up a little bit because it sounds like the company is having this brand new urgency about getting people to book.
People who have already started and are already in the funnel who have not
Right.
completed. Yeah.
And in my humble opinion, you are perfectly within your rights to give 2 weeks' notice politely, lovingly, and that's it.
Wow.
You don't have to take on their urgency about these people haven't completed their packages. That's them. That's not you. Now, something you could do, you could wait for them to come back to you, blah, 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 we need you. And then say, well, I can give you 20 hours between January 15th and 30th or whatever you really want to do. Or you could say, you can either do it or offer to send an email to all the students you've had in the last 30 days. That's just sort of a general email saying, here's a reminder to book your remaining sessions in January so that you're not, so if everything's not booked up for you, dear student. A reminder, things book up quickly in January. Everybody has New Year's energy. It would be a good time to book your remaining sessions. Generic to everybody, done. And I think even that is, that's an extra step. I think 2 weeks, you don't have to take on that urgency, is my take.
I 100% agree.
Wow.
You being beyond ready to leave is a
Yeah,
you
that's
thing.
got it.
Them having needed urgency to schedule their people is a them thing. That's a business problem on their end. That isn't, you're not there to save that the business.
No, but if I'm giving them 2 weeks, is it the responsible and integrity-filled thing to give them a bunch of hours in those 2 weeks? I mean, that's the only challenge I'm seeing. No.
No, because what if you were giving them your 2 weeks because you met a guy who was taking you to Switzerland to live with forever and ever in a castle?
Wow, I
Like
love,
you'd just
thank
be
you,
like,
universe.
hey.
Okay, universe, pay attention. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's this is this conversation here is really about the texture that you want to leave them with for you.
I can't control how they respond, though, is the thing. I can only
Correct.
control how I present it. And so the thing I feel like I most need help with, which is what we're chewing on here, is how do I present this to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really what do you want to offer them, if anything? Now, if Kate is right, where it's like 2 weeks' notice is pretty much the standard, but you need to let them know if you can work in that time or not. Because 2 weeks' notice means I'll continue doing the job for 2 weeks.
That's my question, right? So
Right.
if in this group I can tell all of you, I have pulled way back on coaching with these guys because of all the other things going on in my world at the moment. So I mean, if they peeked at my schedule, they'd be like, "What is happening?" Because it's very quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is, you have to tell them
Yeah.
this is how many students I can take in the next 2 weeks, and that's it for I don't know how many. Or you could say zero and then give them some hours in January. They'd probably feel better about that.
I'm sure. I've this is very big because what I'm absolutely feeling is I just immediately want to go to sleep. Like my brain has stopped processing. Like I can't.
Yeah, nobody wants to go to the gym. Well, a few people do, but
Yeah.
they're like
Yeah,
alien
they
people.
are. I know some of
Most of
those
us are like,
people.
I don't want
Yeah.
to go to the gym and do a rep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the feeling. But you can do this.
Yeah. But like the question of like how do I want to show up or what is doable for me or what feels good to me versus what is integrity filled and respectful, I feel like I don't yet have that sensor fully online. I'm kind of feeling my way through it.
Yeah. And maybe this is something you'll have to feel your way through and get it wrong to then be like, oh, I would do it differently like this next time. Sometimes we can't
Okay.
figure it out perfectly, but we have to just kind of do something and then assess it on the back end of like, well, I would have done that differently.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have any clients currently scheduled with them, like on
Yes.
your calendar?
Yes, I have. Yes.
For December?
Yes.
How many?
I can pull it up right now. And I reschedule again because of like life events, I've
Yeah.
rescheduled a bunch of things. So, today is the 8th. So for the rest of the month, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 for the
So if
rest so far.
I were in your shoes, I would say I have six clients currently on my calendar and I will happily take care of those people, but I won't schedule any more. And you can leave it
Wow.
at that, or you can offer them some hours in January.
Okay.
Leaving them in a lurch, being real flaky would be like, I've got six people on my schedule, but F them, bye, 2 weeks' notice. Like,
Okay, I'm not, yes.
yeah, you're
Yes,
not.
I mean, I know what I feel like I want to do, but I'm a professional and I'm going to do my thing. So, but I can talk to you about both of those pieces here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So question. Do I, you don't have to answer this. These are the questions you have to answer for yourself and then
Yeah.
rewrite the letter to say that.
Okay.
Do I want to give any hours in January? If I do, how many hours
Okay.
do I genuinely want to give? And then communicate that you have six students currently scheduled. You will definitely do all of those, but you cannot take anything else in December. Yeah. And then rewrite the letter, just take it down a
Bring it
notch.
down.
Yeah. And send it.
Okay.
And
Wow,
then
yeah. Oof.
whatever response you get, you're welcome to come here and we can process it.
Okay.
So the question that you had, you've been doing 3 to 5 hours a day with your job search. Congratulations.
Three
Good,
to five
good,
hours
good.
a week. I wish it were 3 to 5 hours a day, but
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry, a
been
week. Oh, it's a day.
yeah,
Oh, okay. Oh, with your day job search. I
yeah,
got
my
it.
day job, yeah.
Now, one of the links you sent me to, one of them didn't work
Oh, wouldn't
anymore.
open.
So I
Oh,
think that
okay.
job might be gone.
Okay.
Then the other one is the LA Newsroom.
Yeah.
And you're asking, like, how would you, with your background and everything, apply for these kind of jobs?
Yeah, I mean, I was a news girl for a hot minute, but it was a long time ago. And this might be a bigger conversation when I have more information, but like, I don't even know where to begin to bring my skills forward into 2025 so that I can say, hey, I did this a million years ago and please talk to me. Like, it feels like, and I know this is the wrong energy, even as I say it to you. It feels like my hat's in my hand. Like, please, sir,
Right.
more gruel. Yeah, it feels like I'm begging. And it
Yeah.
feels like I've put my status like below the surface of the earth. And so I don't know how to legitimately reframe that because I have all this cool experiences from 10 billion years ago, the last time I was in the corporate world. So.
Okay, so you made so many good points there.
Okay. Good.
It's really difficult to get a job. But it's really difficult to get a job when you have your hat in your hand and you're like, please hire
Yeah, it's
me.
impossible with your hat in hand,
Pretty
really.
much. Why? Because people are hiring you. They want to turn over a task to you, or they want you to lead other people too. In this case, they would be wanting to turn over some tasks to you, and they want to think, if I give them this stuff to this person, she can take it and run with it. That's the energy you have to have in the job application of like, oh, I love nothing more than people to give me stuff so I can run with it. Great. We're looking for someone we can give stuff to who will run with it. So that's unsaid, but it's that energy of like, you can trust me. I've
Got
got this.
it.
I am looking forward to this and I'm confident about my abilities. Even if on the inside you're not, that's the energy and vibe that needs to be kind of in the forefront.
I love that. I feel like that is much easier for me to line up with than figuring out how to bring my materials and my proof of concept
Right. Okay.
forward.
So the confident vibe. Look, somebody, here's the deal. Everybody listening, somebody's going to get this job. The odds are it's probably not going to be a great person. They would, so you, the attitude is, well, they would be better off hiring me because I really want this job and I would put, you know, my all into it and I think I would do it great. I have to save them from themselves making their poor decision
Oh my
by
gosh.
hiring, you know, who's going to get it? The brother of somebody who's not
Ugh.
equipped to do it anyway. Like, you've got to save them. This is
That's,
just to amp up your own.
I love this reframe.
Yeah. And here's the thing. When you read a job's responsibilities, make and answer phone calls during breaking news, assist producers and correspondents on field assignments, identify, research, and pitch stories for news coverage. You have to read about to yourself, make and answer phone calls during breaking news. They need someone who can be great under pressure because it's breaking news, clearly communicate. They need someone who can assist so you know how to help without getting in the way. Oh my God, now you're speaking their language. I'm great under pressure. I absolutely know how to help someone without getting in their way. I can anticipate what people need because I've had blah, blah, blah. So it's this dance of you need someone like this. I'm like that. And here's something from my past that has made me good at that. And it could be weird stuff from your past that makes you good at the skill they need. Versus, wow, I haven't spent the last 10 years making and answering phone calls during breaking news. Like, I haven't done that. Because that's not what they need. They need someone who's good under pressure, who can communicate clearly,
Oh,
who won't get in the
interesting.
way. Like, really use your acting skills, everybody. Use your creative skills and put yourself in the role of someone doing this job. And what skills and strengths would this person need to have? And then ask yourself, oh, well, I have which, what skills and strengths do you have that kind of a person in that role would need? Log and transcribe video. That means attention to detail. Monitor video feeds and breaking news for the entire news division. That means being able to have a duality of focus, but without losing your attention somewhere else. Like I can remain focused, but I can also be focused on multiple things at once. And I have good discernment, so I would know which things is the important things to draw people's attention to. Discernment. Book travel and handle logistics for correspondents and crews. Oh my gosh, attention to detail. Doing it right the first time. Write stories for ABC News digital platform. They need you to be able to write,
Yeah, that I can
clear
do. Yeah.
communication. All Karen Eileen, all you've been doing for the last 20 years is communicating. You've been teaching people. You've been doing it in the arts. You've been writing speeches and stuff that you give, workshops and classes. Like you have been exercising all the skills just in a different forum. And that's a great line if you were doing an interview or in a cover letter. The skill set that you need for whoever you're going to pick for this job, this. I've been exercising and honing all those skills in different forums over the last, decade. But they are sharp. These skills are sharp and they're ready to be applied to this position. It's not the experience in the job. It's the fact that you have skills and strengths that can be applied to this job.
That is
And that
so
you
interesting.
understand the job, even if you haven't done it before. The skill you most need to have, in my opinion, to get a job is the skill at explaining to the person hiring what they're actually looking for.
This is such a good exercise for me because you interpreting, this is why I wanted to send you the job description. You interpreting that is like blasting open my brain.
And they actually, some job descriptions don't do this, but this one actually does list a few of the skills. Minimum 1 year experience working in a newsroom, you have probably enough of that. Genuine interest in current events, excellent multitasker with attention to detail, proven ability to work under pressure. And so your job with a resume and a cover letter is to prove that these things are true. This is what they're hoping someone, and they somebody can sit across the desk and go, I'm an excellent multitasker with attention to detail. But then the next question would be like, oh, tell me two examples from your past in which your attention to detail was really put to the test and you succeeded.
Wowza.
So then when you're listing on your resume your past positions, you want to talk about what you did in those positions that
So that it
highlights
links to
the
the.
stuff they're looking for.
I feel like it might, even if this job goes away, because I don't know if I can get myself together in time to apply for it. I feel like I want to go through what you just suggested with this job and bring it back here so that I work that muscle.
That would be great. That would be a great thing for you to do.
Prep the.
This is in LA.
my God, it is in LA, yeah.
So would you move?
If they hired me and the salary was what I needed, yeah, I would move.
It's not a remote job, is it?
It
No.
is not.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but that starting to look at job descriptions like that and going, how would I fit myself into that job? How would I
Yeah.
express why I'm the person they need? Plus, you can also say in interviews like, you're going to see several candidates that fit all these requirements.
Yeah.
So then the intangible things are what really can make a difference between someone being a good fit in the culture and someone's not.
Oh, you're just
You
so
know,
good, aren't you? You're
I,
so
this is,
good.
I love Disney. I love, thank you. Years of practicing this though. And then you go into, you know, I love this, the company. What about the company culture? What about I, or I love working remote, or I love working in an office, like just different things. And the maturity that you bring, you know, you're not 20, so you have to address the fact what is the benefits for them for hiring someone who has experience and maturity. Yeah. Good
I
job.
feel hopeful. Thank you.
Yeah, this is really good stuff,
This
Karen
was good.
Eileen.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much.
Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome. Cora. Cora, I got your question. What, Doreen? Are you? Oh, wait. I can't hear you.
She said that she had a window and she missed it. So she's going to try to come back at 4:45 or something
Right.
like that. I
Okay.
don't know.
But her little she's
She's at a restaurant. I think she's at
oh,
work.
okay. Cool.
So
Okay.
she can't toggle.
On and she will hopefully come back.
Okay. First, I
Doreen.
want to say just the fact that Karen Eileen is thinking so much about this exit letter. If people think she doesn't have integrity, they don't know who she is. So screw them.
That's a good point. People who
That's
don't have
my
integrity aren't sitting around worrying about their integrity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little sad.
Okay.
You and I had worked on a couple of things, and one was to get these mini sessions of my 12-week program offered to the people who've already been through it and to send them individualized emails. And it has been exhausting with no response.
I
Okay.
know, worst. I have lived through
So
that.
I setting it up, putting it on the Calendly, putting it in the calendar, putting it everywhere, giving all the details in the emails, and I did have, okay, so I had four of those set up, and
Okay.
one went by, and it's past, nobody signed up, so I got three left, and I got one person signed up for Tuesday. I got one person signed up for Saturday. But after like four or five emails I've already sent to each of these people, we're talking like 30 people over and over and over again. And it's not a cut and paste, it's a different little intro every single time. And to have one person, I'm torn between is it worth it? I mean, do I scramble and try to get three more people to sign up for Tuesday, or just say, sorry, I got to cancel, and just let the whole thing go and focus on my 12-week program that starts in like 3 weeks?
Right. Okay, we're going to take this in two sections. The first section are these mini sessions. So you basically booked two people out of 30. That's actually right. That's correct, right? Two out of 30.
Yeah, actually, it's probably closer to 25. I think I expanded it recently, but yeah.
That is actually really great. You're not going to like to hear it, but that's actually great. It's a volume game, and more people are going to say no, but you got two that said yes out of 25 to 30 people. That's pretty good for short
Okay.
notice. Okay, just so you
Yeah.
know, there are very few people out there who are sending 25 emails and getting 20 bookings. It's just not how it works.
Well, now you made me think that I should have sent out 200 to get that low percentage. But
Yes.
you said to only send it to the people that have been through the program.
Right,
And
because
so
we wanted to see if there was some low-hanging fruit that you could
yeah.
just pluck off the tree.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. But you don't know until you put the offer out there.
Yeah.
And what you found is there were two low-hanging pieces of fruit that were like, I'll give you some money to have this conversation. So now the question on this part is, do you want to cancel them or do you want to have the conversations, even with just one person? Is there value for you in having these conversations and maybe doing the coaching session? Just turn it into a private and say, you would say to them, great news. The other people signed up for today had to move, so it's just you and me. Let's do this. Let me help you with your goals for the year. Like, if that is something, because sometimes when we work with people, we can get a better understanding of, like, oh, that's why they signed up for this. Oh, okay. That's how I could sell this in the future. But I understand, like, what they wanted out of it. And then, or you can cancel it. It's completely up to you. There's no moral judgment of whether you do it or don't do it, just a business decision. Are you
One of the
leaning?
selling points, particularly for the person who signed up for Tuesday, is she's been out of the community for a while and she wanted to get a sense of community. So
Well, she's
I think
not
she
there.
would be happy with a private, but
You
that's
can
also,
ask her.
part of it.
You can say, I know you did it, but unfortunately, it would be a private or nothing. So I can totally refund your money, or we could have this conversation and then let her decide.
Yeah. My other question was, well, maybe I just open up past Tuesday, the last two, to everybody.
What does that mean? Open it up to everyone. Who's everyone?
People on my mailing list who have not gone through the program.
Okay. The thing about that, though, is you're selling a 12-week program. This suggestion was like, is there money that you could ex get from people who would probably not be interested in the 12-week program because they've already been through it? So
Yeah.
maybe there's just some quick cash. That's what that was for. So if you open this up to everyone, you're going to go through a whole sales cycle and people are going to be confused. Well, why should I do the cheap one or should I do the 12-week thing?
My thought was that for people who've not been through it, it'll good give them a good taste of what they would experience over the next 12 weeks. And whatever money they would pay for this mini one would go towards the 12 weeks.
Okay, if you frame it like that, that makes it a little more intriguing for people. Like, okay, I'll get a taste, but you have to be very good at giving people a taste that doesn't fill them up and that is such a tasty taste that they want more. Because oftentimes
Yeah.
coaches give a taste, but the person walks away going, that was great, and that's plenty. I don't actually, I just need to chew on that, for a while.
Yeah, I hear you. I did get one person, and I know, well, I don't know. I just assumed you don't you frown on the discount. I put out a Black Friday thing. And so I did get one person for the 12-week program to sign up for that. So that was really exciting for me.
Okay. For everyone
So
listening,
yeah, I hear what you're saying about giving them too much, and I just don't know if I'm giving them too much or not, but I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
I just, I'm asking you the question here because I'd love just from a, an objective business, non-emotional point of view.
Yeah. I don't think you should open it up to everyone. I think you should try to get as many people as you can on in the 12-week program because it's more lucrative for you. And I think that you don't have a lot of runway to sell into that program. If you're going to start it in January, you could start it in February, but if you're going to, you don't have a lot of runway. So I think all the focus needs to be on selling into that program.
Okay.
And
Okay.
then do these two people or not?
Yeah, I'll see if they can switch their dates to be on the same day.
Sure. I mean, that would be ideal for everyone. Yeah.
Why? Why? What you said your expression was like, that's not a good idea.
No, it just, I hope it, I was sort of like, yeah, if that works, like that would be great. It's
Oh,
just a lot
okay.
of doodling. So there's a thing called Doodle, I think. It's a thing where
Yeah.
you send, okay, so
Yeah.
everybody can
Yeah.
schedule. Okay. Yeah. So try to get them on the same day and
Well,
then.
there's only they only have three dates to choose from, so.
Okay. So here's the, this is part of my expression that you saw is that. For them to get on the same day, you're probably going to have to cater to their schedules.
No, they only can choose the hours and the days that I've got up on the calendar. That's it. There's
Cool.
3 days. Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying to you is if you want them both on the same day, I think
Yeah.
you're going to have to make that work around what both of them can do instead of like,
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. I see what you're saying.
you
No, I
can't
was
go
just
to
going to
them.
offer it to them. But
Okay.
I'm not going to make it work. I'm just going to say, hey, can you show up on Tuesday? Or hey, can you show up on Saturday? And see if it works.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna,
And if they say
I'm not gonna
no?
make it work. Huh?
Okay. And if they say no? No, I can't show
Then
up.
I think I like your idea. I didn't even think about like just making it into private because what it would do, it would really help me do it. You know, because I've never done this mini thing before. Yeah.
There is usually nothing bad about doing your thing, because that's what teaches you about how to do the thing, like a package deal. I've done things where I've offered things and like one person's bought, and I've done it for one person because I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to learn a lot from this. As long as I'm going to
Yeah.
learn something from this, then it's worth
Yeah.
doing, plus the cash. Yeah. So,
I love it. No, I
okay.
think no.
So then you have, how many people do you want in this 12-week program?
40.
Okay. Now, if you got two people out of 30,
Yeah.
how many people do you have to offer this to if that sort of, so if you, so for every 15 people you made an offer to, it's not going to be the same offer, so these statistics don't correlate
That's
perfectly.
600. I did the math.
Yeah, so it's like one out of 15. So 15 times 40. That gives
600.
an idea
Yeah.
of the volume of big programs. Like I need 40 people in a program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, could you get 40 out of a list of 250? Sure, you can. Miracles can, like, that would be amazing. And that would mean it was just the right thing at the right time for the people on your list, and the people on your list were hungry to work with you and they had the money, and like all those things can come together. You know? So, but my question to you is then, what's the plan in 3 weeks to get 40 people?
Yeah. The
Now,
plan.
another way, I'll come back to you. I just want to say and one other thing. Another way I like to think about it is if I want to get 40 people in my program, then I need to go to 40 other people who have audiences that would want what I have, and have that person recommend me, introduce me to their audience. And maybe that's a little free workshop, maybe that's sending out to their email list, but they have to have a lot of people. Because if each of those 40 people can get me one sign up, then I have my 40 signups. Those are funnel people. That's what I call funnel people, people who can funnel people your way.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have maybe two people who have 40
That's
people.
sort of like part of the marketing is to potential clients, but also part of marketing is to funnel people so that you have this list of like connections who every once in a while can send out to, about you to their audience. And that's how you refill your classes and get more people on your list, is by getting into other people's audiences. Because after a while, marketing to your own list, the list just gets, you've used the list. They've got what they've wanted and they're not interested. And
So what am I not seeing? What's a possibility that I'm not seeing that can happen over the next 3 weeks?
what's a possibility to get 40 people
Yeah.
over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah.
It would be really sending an email marketing sequence out to your list that walks them through the issues that they're having, or the frustrations that they're having, or how they're feeling right now, and how you understand that, and how working with you is going to change that, and how they should look at this investment. Like, you really have to take their brain from like, I don't want to spend any more money right now, to I need this and I want this so bad that I'm going to give this woman my money. So that would be a 3 week marketing sequence to your list that would be very compelling, and offer them conversations with you. Do you need to talk about this before? But then the other thing would be reaching out to everybody else that you know and saying, do you know someone? Do you know an actor? Anywhere, because this is online, right? Or is it in person?
It's online.
It's online. So, an actor anywhere in the world who needs this, who has this problem. I'm the best at solving this thing. This is what I'm going to do in 12 weeks. Would you be willing to share this information with them? And as many people as you know, past students know, hey, could you send this out to an actor you know? And it would just be doing that every single day for 3 weeks.
And when you say doing that for, I know it's hard to make up, to think of, every single day, what is the laziest case scenario? That I do it to one person every single day, that I do it to 100 people every single day? You know, that's where I'm not.
I'm not saying you're emailing people every single day, because obviously you're not going to email them on Christmas Eve and Christmas and New Year's Eve, and but
I'm going to call them on Christmas Day.
you're working on this though almost every single day. The thing is that this is a volume game.
Yeah.
You can stop when you have 40 people enrolled. That's when you can stop. So I would look at it, and I think it would be risky for you to be like, oh, I'll do it in a very measured way, like this many people every day. I would be like, can I email 20 people, then 19 people, then the next day 18 people? And like, I would go down. You need, because this time of year, people are not paying attention to their inboxes all the time. Like, you don't have everybody's, well, we never have anybody's full attention, but you have to break through and get people to help you pass this information along. That's why a 3 week runway for this is real small. When people are doing launches, it's a multi, they're planning this thing and putting people in place and getting their funnel people ready to email. Like
Yeah,
it's
I mean, I've always done this in this kind of compact time, but not with a goal of 40. You know, I've had it like a goal of 10. You know, so,
So the question is financially.
the way you're talking about it, it sounds like this is not possible.
It's not that it's not possible. It's just that it takes more reach outs than you probably think it does. I'm thinking you're underestimating the amount of reaching out. This is, that's all I'm saying. I think you're underestimating it. So I would want to encourage you to set your metric pretty high of like, I've got to find 10 people a day. Because if we're going off that metric of 600, 600 divided by 21 is you'd have to be able to reach through yourself or other people 28 people a day to have reached out to 600 people. So it's just a lot. You don't have to reach out to 28 people a day, but you have to reach out to funnel people who have a list of 250 people who might be interested. So it's a big thing. If I strategically starting this in February gives you so much more space to start, then you could use December to reach out to funnel people and say, hey, is this something you'd be willing to share with your people in January? Because I'm trying to start it in February, it gives you a little more time to connect some of those dots.
I guess I can't shake the idea that the whole point of this is to start the new year on time as opposed to a month later.
That's a nice concept if you can do it. Like, I don't mind, I understand the concept, like, of start the year, boom, January. I'm just, if you can get 40 or
Well, or
10.
because the whole selling point is like, what do you want? How do you want to up level your career by the end of March?
Okay, yes, but any selling point can be recontextualized because I think it'll be really interesting is like in January, the messaging could be like, it's a brand new year. How are you feeling? Do you have those resolutions yet? Or are you kind of wondering and wobbling about, what is this year going to be like? What if, because a lot of people think they're going to do stuff in January that they don't do. And by February and March, they're much more motivated to do the thing. I learned this as an organizer. My least booked month of the year was January. I was booked in Christmas because people wanted to get stuff done before the new year, before the holidays. And certainly in that week after the holidays, I was booked solid. January, crickets. My second biggest time of the year, February, March, because everyone's like, oh shit, my New Year's resolution. Like, get organized. I haven't done it yet. I should really make the appointment. Like, we think people are ready to go in January because that's what marketing has taught us. We should feel ready. But you know what real humans are? hungover from the holidays and spending money, getting back on their feet. And certainly this year, we're like, what the hell is happening? We've got January 6th to go through. We've got January 20th to go through. It's like, ugh. But by February, people are like, well, am I going to do this year or not? So let's go.
Yeah.
That would be my marketing angle, especially this year, and
Yeah.
especially.
I mean, that sounds great, but of course, in my head, I'm already thinking, but then I'm competing with tax season, you know?
Oh, you're
So,
competing with everything. The comp you're
yeah.
competing with the holidays, you're competing the year because of the we're so inundated with everything
Yeah.
all the time. There is no window. You have to just plow your message through whatever else is going on and contextualize your message for whatever is going on.
Yeah.
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 So
Thank you.
don't worry about that. And then the other question is financially, what's the least amount of people for this 12-week program that would make it viable for you to do?
To me, it's not about, yeah, isn't that funny? Because this is not what I'm here for, even though I'm gonna say it out loud. To me, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
To me, it's about how many people do I want to have to make it worthwhile for me. And that would be a minimum of seven. Yeah, let's say 10. Let's say 10.
Okay.
That would be worth, let's say 12. Let's say 12. That would make it worthwhile for me as a coach.
Okay. It's always good to know what your minimum is, not so you can shoot for it, but so that you know what bar you would need to clear for the program to be a go, for you. So you're looking at 12 to 40 people. The problem is that when you set up a business to where you're only going to really be making money if it's at a higher volume, that just requires more marketing. And if you make it a higher price and try to get 12 to 20 people at a higher price, same amount of effort. But you clear that bar a lot sooner once you hit 20 or once you hit 12. And saying it's not about the money is fine, but you're living the results of that. And the other thing, and I don't mean, I'm not wagging my finger at you. I'm just saying, like, you're living the results of it not being about the money. Every choice I make isn't about the money either. And I'm living the results of that to a degree. So the other thing is the best thing you could do for your business from now through the rest of the year is to build a community of funnel people. You recommend their stuff to you, that you all share the same types of people, but in different ways. It can't be all a bunch of acting coaches. That's not what I'm talking about. But these people serve actors in a different way, and these people, and you start to connect with them and say, hey, your people might like my stuff. My people might like your stuff. Because you have a list of 250 people who are tired, who some of whom are tired of buying your stuff, but who might buy somebody else's stuff. And that way, when you have launches where you need to get, you can go not back to all of them necessarily, but back to a few and go, hey, can you spread the word for me? Can you spread the word for me? And then you'll do the same for them. But every service-based business that is about serving in a group format has to have funnel people. Yeah, because it's really hard to just get people on your own list and then sell to them more than once.
Okay.
So I know this is like, oh, not what you want to hear. But here's the thing. By the beginning of February, whether you start your thing in January or you start it in February, by the beginning of February, if you really give this your all without exhausting yourself, but really give it your all, you are going to be stronger. And that is something that will help you for the rest of your life. You getting stronger, and stronger, and you really trying this and just doing that, you know, what is that book you said at the beginning, like a month in a year and a quarter?
12-week year.
Right. If you really go for it, what I can guarantee you is you will be stronger. Even if you don't have anybody signed up, you will have been stronger, a stronger marketer, a stronger business person by trying and going all out.
Yeah, it's ironic that what the program is exactly what you're asking me to do.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Lead
Yeah.
by example. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it's right, but for who I'm co who I'm coaching is, you know, for the artists and the artist's career, it's not for the business, you know.
Yeah.
But it does apply to everything. So I'm going to have to stand back a moment and look and put my money. I'm excited to put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it gives you, when you are walking the walk, it gives you much more integrity when you're teaching too. It's like, because you understand their feelings, and your marketing is about their feelings and how you're going to shift their feelings. So just look at what they're feeling now. Oh my God, I'm a little scared. Is anybody going to hire me? It's like, it's the same set of feelings that these actors are feeling. And if you can talk to them in language that makes them feel like, oh my God, she totally understands me. And she knows how to make it better. Okay, let's do this then.
Well, that's easy. You know, I could talk about the whole acting landscape because I do walk my talk with that. But now we're talking about a business, which is a different, I don't know, a different language. I don't know what it is, but I do know, and I'm not seeing it at this moment. I do know. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all scary and you have to do hard things to make you stronger. That's like the formula of life. It's very scary, and then you do hard things and it makes you stronger.
It's not about hard things. It's about what interests me. Like the whole acting game interests me. That's why I'm so, that's why I love playing it. But this, it's like sometimes it just doesn't interest me.
The business part of stuff.
Of the business part of my business.
Yeah. You know, you could also hook up with someone who has an acting studio and just be a teacher for them. You might make less, but you wouldn't have to be doing so much of the marketing yourself. There's other ways for you. You could have a part-time job that brings in the income you need. And then you could even do that acting stuff with actors for free if you wanted to. Like, you don't have to make this your business. And I think that this is a very important thing, is that more and more, I think people are going to have to separate the thing they do for money from the thing they love to do. Because I don't know, and I think as technology changes and the economy of this country changes, I don't know if there's going to be all the opportunity we've had kind of in the past for you to earn money doing the thing you love. That will still be true for some things, but it's not going to be true for everything. And paying the rent can be completely separate from doing the things you love. So if you really don't like the business stuff, that's okay. Find another way to offer your gifts where you don't have to do so much of the marketing. It's sort of like the thing Karen Eileen is now stepping away from. She was coaching inside somebody else's coaching program, and they just like handed her the clients, and then she did the clients at a lesser price than she would get when she got her private clients. But then she didn't have to do all of the marketing stuff.
Yeah.
And if you
Yeah.
find an acting teacher who I'm doing this, I lead a group of actors within somebody else's acting company. I'm doing kind of like the mindset career stuff. I'm co-leading this group with somebody else who does more of the career stuff, and I do more of the mindset stuff. But we're inside somebody else's studio. So the people who come, we're not marketing it. We're just doing the service. That might be something else to think about. Going to another acting coach and go, look, I have this 12-week program. I can, change it up or doing something, but maybe your students would like it. Maybe we could even invite students from other acting schools. You would get a cut. You get 40%, I'd get 60%. This is what we charge for. Like, does that sound like a good deal? If that's another income stream for them that they didn't even think about and wouldn't have to do anything for. It could also be 70, 30, or 35, 65. But that's another way to be able to do what you love to do with less of the entrepreneurial part of it. So, food for thought. Let me move on. Is Cora here? But thank you, Doreen. Keep the faith.
Thank you.
I'm speaking you to you direct because you are a mature expert at your craft. And I just want you to have clear food for thought. So just know I say this with a lot of respect. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank
Oh
you.
God, I know all those feelings. Cora, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. All right. Cora is a cash flow kitten. She's aiming for a full-time front-end software developer position with a company where there'd be opportunities for leadership and maybe project management in tech. Your victory, your friend put you up for a job. However, her boss she sent my resume to recently got let go. However, it was so nice to be thought of. Congratulations. Yes, it's like,
Thank you.
oh, no, timing. Okay, so let's see.
And also good news. I just found out I have an initial interview for a customer service technical support. I need to check the exact title, but it's very specific. There are some technologies that I don't know, but I'm going to do my best to be fully prepared and going to post online if, on my alumni to see if anybody is this position so we can chat more.
Perfect. And I love that. I love what you wrote here too, where you're like asking your friends and colleagues and things about like using that network of brain power for you to learn things about what's going on in the industry. I just love that you're thinking along those lines. Okay. So there's two things here. Let me read it. Feeling a little insecure lately about getting a job as a junior front-end developer. However, I truly believe I will be great at it. And I know that volunteering at this organization called Hack for LA will set you up for those kinds of jobs. Now that I'm pivoting to focusing on getting a full-time job, what is the work and what will actually help me get the job? Since I'm volunteering at Hack for LA as a developer, do I focus all of my attention on leveling up there and then start applying to jobs? From what I hear from the industry of what it takes to get a job in the position I want, you need a strong portfolio project, not necessarily a strong portfolio, but one cool project that would catch someone's attention. You need to practice and get good at some algorithms for the technical interview. So there's some like homework to be done there. I need to then apply for the jobs and network to hear about the jobs. I need to keep volunteering and leveling up at Hack for LA. Those four things that you listed, yep, those are the four things, which all are big and all are like, well, what do I find the time to do all those four things? I need a job. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And then you wrote, there's so much, and it's so challenging to stay hopeful and believe that it's possible. When one of my classmates has spent 2 years trying to get a job and hasn't spent maybe a total, and I've spent maybe a total of 6 months off and on over the past 1.5 years working to get a junior front-end job. Ultimately, I want to be a technical product manager And all of the knowledgeable industry people I've talked to have said that in this market, the best path to that position is getting a job in what you're trained to and then transitioning once you're in the company. And what I'm trained and good at is front-end engineering and UX design. So I'm doing my best to stay focused and hopeful, but my less hopeful thoughts are trying to get the best of me. I so badly want a remote job making like $90,000 or more. 47 a year just isn't cutting it, and I'm so tired of pinching pennies. Okay. Yes. So let's talk about your mind first. So where do you go when you're not feeling great? Like, how are you pulling your brain back when it wants to run over to like, this is gonna take forever and it won't work?
Sorry for the background noise, but for me, I usually turn to action. I am one of those rare aliens of gym people, so I am grateful that I can still show up and do the work. It's just the believing and the like putting in that extra edge that sometimes gets like, nah, fuck it, like I'm just gonna send in an
Yeah.
application. So I just like have to send in an application today, so it can get a little just not as I know that this market requires an extra oomph, and the oomph is definitely, yeah. So,
Okay, you just broke up. So could you say that
oh,
again?
I'm sorry. Yes,
This market
definitely.
requires.
This market requires an extra oomph.
Oomph.
Did you get that? Yeah, and so yeah, mostly I very much like. I'm still able to do the actions, just the actions are a little more like, okay, I just have to do this thing. It's not, which maybe that's okay. But it's not like hopeful or excited or confident as we spoke before. It can definitely start to affect that. So I definitely think some sort of practice or thing might help. I mostly, thankfully, do not become inactive. I don't become crippled by it, but I definitely lose a little, yeah, je ne sais quoi, so to speak.
And when you go into the dip, even though you're still taking action, that's great. Are you able to come back out from it? Like, are you going up and down and up and down, down, stay down a long time and then peak a little bit?
It is definitely with the front end stuff, it's definitely mostly like down because I don't feel like fully confident in myself. For example, I'm like, you know what I know I could do is I could be a remote executive assistant. I know I can do that. Like, and I literally was like excited to apply because it's like I know it's something I absolutely can do because I have very little experience and I don't know what the work looks like all the time for these different companies. Like I know I've done the work in spurts and with help and with teachers and other developers, but and I wasn't the best, but like I was pretty good and I got into like a good school and I, yeah, it mostly is because I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be good. I'm pretty sure I will, but I actually have never done it. So I really, like, I haven't done it on the job. So I really don't know. So it's more of a, yeah, experience situation. Whereas like assisting, I'm like, oh yeah, I ran an entire plastic surgery center, like for acclaimed celebrity acclaimed doctor. Like I can do that. I can absolutely, I know I can handle whatever executives, you know. So yeah, sort of the process.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Why don't you want to do that job, executive assisting?
I actually do, and I have decided I'm gonna apply for that as well. Yeah, I just I kind of am a little disappointed in myself that I didn't realize sorry, can you hear me okay? I'm a little disappointed in myself because I'm like, I wish I had this realization before I spent $19,000 on a boot camp. So there's a part of me that's like, well, but you learned front end. And granted, I learned a lot in that position. Like I learned, holy shit, I'd be an amazing technical product manager. Super grateful for that gift that I discovered at the end of my program. Because I was like, oh wow, I would be really good at this. Like really good. So I'm grateful for that gift that I spent $19,000 on. But I think that's where the insecurity is. It's like, well, I fucking spent $19,000. So like, you gotta go do that job. I don't necessarily believe that, but there is a part of me that's like, well, I mean, we did this thing. So like, let's just go do the thing.
Okay.
Which is
Let
illogical.
me say this. Oh, no. It's
Okay.
called the sunk cost fallacy, where it's
Right.
like, oh, I put all this money over here into this, so that's what I should do. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's it's all a learning experience. It's all a
Right.
learning. But here's the thing. So here's what I hear you saying. So I took this boot camp. I'm pretty good. I know I have potential, but I need some experience under my belt. I need to learn a little bit more. I need to network a little bit more. I need to get a portfolio project. I just need to get myself to the point where I'm like confident that I can learn what I need to learn and can handle what the job throws at me. Am I hearing that correctly? Like,
Correct.
it's like
Yeah.
you just. And what I also hear is like, I want a job that pays me money. Like, I'm
Yeah.
so tired of like making it work. So this is just one way to do things. And for everybody listening, we have to get very, very, very creative in the years ahead of like, oh, okay, this is one way of doing something, but here's another way of doing something, or I could do this, or I could do this. And really pulling, like I said, the pieces of our life kind of apart so we can address in our business life, so we can address each one instead of always trying to address them all together. So in this case, you want money and you eventually want to be doing something in this realm of tech, right?
Yeah.
Well, one way to get both of those things is for you to get a job based off of the highly skilled and experience you have as a high level assistant. I'm not talking about like office manager entry level. I'm talking about like $90,000 to $110,000 level assistant. And then on nights and weekends, keep getting more and more confident at the stuff you need to do here while you're actually earning some money. Because even if you were earning $70,000, that's 30,000 more. Means, you could get somebody to help you with your laundry or your cooking, or just like you could take some tasks off your plate so you have a little more money to start growing in this field, but you'd also have a little more time. Because right now, it's like, I have to up level and network and get better and get more confident so I can get that job. And that's a lot to ask of yourself. It's like, I have to grow, grow, grow. We can only grow so fast. Like, we can't force our growth. We can slow it down, but we can't make it really faster. We have to learn what we need to learn in the ways that we need to learn it. Am I making sense to you, or is any of that confusing
Oh
or?
no, you're making so much sense, and therapist said
Oh.
the same thing.
Okay. I always love it when my clients say to me, oh yeah, somebody else said the same thing, because that to me, my little story is the universe is trying to talk to you. And now it's using multiple people to give you the exact same message. So, what was your reaction when you heard that message the first time and now you're hearing it again? Like, what's your reaction to it?
My reaction is okay. Like, I mean, because I feel I already, to me, it's actually exciting because it's like, you know what? I know I can do that. I know I can get that. And it's to me, it's like, okay, this is the turn that I have to take. And I'm confident I can take it and do it. And I'm also just in a place of trust, especially now hearing it from two people I really appreciate their opinions on. So, and honor them. And so, like, yeah, for me, I'm like, yeah, actually, I think it'll be great. So, yeah.
I think, I believe, Cora, that you can get really good at the tech stuff. And I believe you can eventually get a job and work your way up. Like, I think that is an absolute, from based on the things that you've already showed me in the short time that we've worked together, I'm like, no. She's a go-getter. She can do this. I just think you'd need a little more time in order to do that. And you know what feels really great? Money. It just lets you exhale a little bit. So even just getting a 70,000 to 110,000 range, and you can do it because those specific skills are needed. Like some, and you have the tone of voice that you use when you're like, oh yeah, I can totally run this office like blindfolded. That's the confidence that will enable you to get a job like that. And then you have the time and the space to do the other thing at a better pace that keeps it fun. Because I'm afraid right now it's going to start not even being fun. You're just going to get terrorized by when can I do this? So at the moment, you have your job that you're working now, free rent. Do the Hack LA thing, that's still kind of good networking, good, you're getting better and better. And then look for another job. Those would be the three things I would do. Stop everything else until you get the job. And then that can be replaced by doing more tech stuff. And I would like you to read the book, The Awakened Woman. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Tara Rye Trent. Her story is amazing. If you just want a snippet of it, just look her up on YouTube and you can hear her story is amazing. But it is a story of like, I have a goal. She had four goals actually. And what it took for her to get those goals. She came from a dirt poor place in, I want to say Zimbabwe, but that might not be the region. And she wanted to become a doctor in the United States. And she did it. And the story of how she did it, and it took her some time. Some things just take time. And that's totally okay. And this is a weird, warped thing that our culture has been doing for like the last 15 years, which is bullshit. You took the $19,000 boot camp and you didn't get a job right out of boot camp. And now you're like doing this. And it's like, no, maybe that's not the right path. Maybe it's somebody you're going to meet in your next executive assistant job that will actually lead you to a job in tech. Wouldn't that be interesting? So maybe the universe is like, oh, we want to introduce you to this person, but we're going to need you to go over here to get to that person because we can't, well, there's no other way for you to meet this person. You don't know. All you know right now is two people have said the exact same thing to you. And I find that interesting.
Thank you. This is so helpful. And actually three, my girlfriend too.
Perfect. Think of your life in terms of the next 10 years. and what, or even five if 10 is too scary. In 5 years, how do you want to feel? In 5 years, you're going to have an amazing job doing whatever you want, getting paid well. If you just think outside the box, go with trust and kind of go with the flow and listen to the messages, you'll get there. And there's nothing better that you got there in 1 year than you got there in 5 years. There's no morality on the path our lives take. That's why I want you to read that book.
Thank you so
You can
much.
get it at
I
the
look forward
library,
to
and you can get it used online for like $5. So
I have Libby, so I'll check there first and then go
perfect.
from there. Thank you.
All right, good job. We have 5 minutes. Lydia, do you have something, anything?
Okay. I'll try to go super quick. Okay, my move is done. I'm also exploring I did that application to Fidelity, and I set up a meeting with Miata, and I set up the orientation. Puppy. And I set the orientation at the Entertainment Community Fund to start their career center things, just
Great.
putting things out there. What my
Yeah.
question is about direct marketing for the voiceover side of my business. That is like, I related so much to everything everyone said, and I loved on the oh my God, the Abundance Bound page, the one where we post things. Why am I that thing? I hope the squeaks aren't as loud as they are to
Oh,
me.
they're loud. They are
Oh,
loud.
good. Let me see if, no. Okay.
You can put him in another room.
She is in another room, but let me close the door.
Okay, close the door. Perfect.
Okay,
Perfect.
much better. So you posted how you're doing direct marketing, and you've kind of made it like a project, and that really sparked something in my brain because when I have a project, I get things done, I'm focused. But when something is like what I've been doing is telling myself I need to market every day. And it just has become this super amorphous thing. I think I've done it maybe twice in the last 6 months. And so my brain really sparked when I saw what you had posted. So I was wondering if in the 2 minutes we can maybe brainstorm some ways that I can actually fit it into my life so that while I'm searching for a day job, I'm also taking steps in this.
Okay. So for everybody, this is a very common problem. We put projects on our to-do list. To-do list, market. It's like that is a project that has many to-dos. And if we keep putting projects on our to-do list, they never get done because then we sit there and go, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? Because it's not broken down into to-dos. So the My project that she's referring to is I have to do a lot of outreach. I'll be doing it for like the next year, getting people aware that I exist and that I have this service for caregivers. And it's not just for caregivers, it's for ambitious women who think caregiving crashes into their plans. And it's like, what do we do then? So I need to be reaching out. But I can't just put outreach on my to-do list. Every week, I sit down on Sunday and go, okay, what do I need to do this week for outreach? I'm gonna call this person. I'm gonna email this person. I'm going, a to-do is an action that has like a beginning, a middle, and end. Make the phone call. And then that phone call might generate another to-do. Follow up. Blah, blah, blah. Or that person connects me to another person. So now I'm going to reach out to that person. but they are like one action items. That's what goes on a to-do list. And you can make to-do lists for your day. Okay, today, here are like the five things I'm going to do. Or you can do it at the beginning of the week where it's like, okay, this is about how much time I have in the week. So I can probably do these things. And these are the things so that when you have 15 minutes, you're not spending that 15 minutes just thinking about marketing in a general sense. You're like, oh, I'm going to make that call and send that email. And then you can use those little pockets of time, but you can't use those pockets of time unless there's a to-do list to refer to. And we always have to-do lists for our personal lives and very often for other people's agendas and lives. But when it comes to our own businesses, it's easy to just not have a clear to-do list for the business or to just have it full of projects that then never really get done. And so we're getting stuff done in our own life and we're getting our stuff done for other people, but our business just kind of sits there. And that's what the Sunday, for me, it's on Sunday, the meeting I have with myself is like, okay, what's my agenda for my business this week? And that's what my weekly planning chart is about. The planning chart is about looking at how much time you realistically have available. And that might be 3 hours during the week. Okay, then what are you going to do? What are you going to plan in advance? What actions are you going to plan in advance to do during those 3 hours? That's what the weekly planning chart helps you do. It's not a calendar. It's just helping you go, I have this much time. What am I going to do? So then it's about what are the things you can do? So do you have an idea about that? Like, what part of your voiceover business do you want to grow through this effort?
Primarily commercial voiceover, but
Okay.
also when we talked about this aspect last time, I need to make the list for when the strike's fully over of like independent video game companies. But more directly, like commercial voiceover, and audiobook.
Okay, so those are three things: audiobooks, commercial voiceover, and independent video game companies. So, with the independent video game companies, you're right. The first action would be spending some amount of time and making the list, doing the research, making the list, figuring out when it's appropriate, when it will be appropriate to contact them. Who do I contact? What's their email? Do I have to call the company to get the email? Like, how do I? That's phase one is the research and getting ready. Phase two of that will be then making the calls and doing the outreach.
Okay. I think that's where I've been going wrong is for everything else, I've just kind of gone, I put them all together. I research someone, I reach out immediately. And so then all of it becomes super overwhelming because for, and so hearing it as like, okay, spend time researching, it's one bunched task. Then spend time with the actual outreach that fits better in my brain.
Yeah. So I try to have some time every week devoted to, finding new people to reach out to, all the research, listening to a podcast, like all that kind of stuff, compiling my list. And then in the same week, spend a little bit of time actually outreaching. So I'm researching outreach, re but it's not one to one. I do a clump of research and then do a clump of outreach. And then you just go back and forth, back and forth. So it might be, and this is arbitrary, you can do whatever you want, but it could be research 10 people, then do the outreach to those 10, and then get more, and then do the outreach. In the case of the video game people, you have to wait, but you can be doing the research. So then with commercial voiceover, who are you outreaching to?
There's a
about?
lot of people that can fit, that can be advertising companies, that can be creative like producers at those companies, that can be like commercial production companies.
Okay. So what if in the commercial voiceover world, you were like, because that's a campaign that is, you're going to have to outreach to them
Multiple times.
multiple times, twice a year, three times a year, four times a year, something like that. So what if you are like, okay, I'm going to make a list of 60. 60, all a mixture of all that those things you just listed. And that's going to be my list of 60. If I come across somebody recommends somebody, I can add them to the list. And if I get like rejections or whatever, I can take people off the list. But here's my initial list. It doesn't have to be 60, it could be 50, whatever you feel you can handle. But those 60 people get outreached to multiple times a year. Hey, sharing the good news about this. Hey, if you ever need this, hey, here's my reel. Hey, just that kind of little one or two sentence email that goes out individually to those, not a group email. No. Individually to 60 people. You pre-decide it's going to be three times a year or four times a year or more. Could be monthly. I don't know. And then you're going to make that list. And then same for the audiobooks. Is it that you're going to target authors on ACX? Like, what are you going to do? And does there have to be frequency involved with that? It might not be in the audiobook world. It could be like, ooh, I'm going to research four authors that I would love to work with because I just, and then contact them. And I mean, maybe there's a follow-up to that, but maybe not. I don't know. So with that's what I would do and make that my little routine. And you just keep doing it and keep doing it. Keep do, you just there's you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just keep riding along with that wheel until you don't need to do it anymore. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much, Christine. This
You're
has
very
been
welcome.
on me forever.
Good. Okay, great. Kira, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you. Do you have like a split second question, or you can put your question in for next week? We're going to meet next week, so that's probably the best, is to send me a question or come back on. And we'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Is that okay? Great. All right. Have a good evening, guys.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Emmanuel.
everybody. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks,
Bye.
everybody.